time for Capital Thinking, where we analyze the key policy, political, legal, and business issues that will shape America's future. Live from Washington, D.C., this is your unfiltered tour of the halls of power. Now, here's your host, Kevin O'Neill.
All right, good afternoon, and welcome to Capital Thinking. We're just 1 week away from the Christmas holidays, and as we promised last week, we wanted to spend a special show talking about the good acts, the pro bono work of lawyers nationwide, the things they're doing to help the poor, the underprivileged, the people in need. So that's what we're going to do today. We've got a great show focusing on veterans affairs, children's care, a number of issues. We're going to kick it off, though, with two titans of the Washington legal community. I've got John Oberdorfer, a seasoned litigator from the law firm of Patton Boggs, and Rodney Slater, the former Secretary of Transportation, here with us to talk about a little bit of their involvement in Election Day proceedings this year. And so first I want to say welcome to the show to Rodney and John, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what they did this year. Now, guys, welcome to the show. I know that it's very important everyone get out to vote this year. We had a historic election on many levels. I know you guys were kind of pressed into duty just a couple of days before the election to respond to people's concerns about getting their right to exercise the vote and to make sure that their votes were counted. Rodney, can you tell me a little bit about what you all did here in Washington?
Kevin, we're both pleased to answer that question. I can tell you that the opportunity really afforded us the occasion to work with an organization that we've worked with for a number of years. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights is an organization that was started in the 1960s, 1963 to be exact. And it was founded at the invitation of, or really at the request of President Kennedy to challenge the legal community to step forward and to really become frontline players in the human rights, civil rights movement of the time. And he made the case that lawyers play a very important role in society in reconciling, if you will, the wants and desires of all of our citizens, all seeking to enjoy the promise of America. Well, this election season, again, afforded us an opportunity to work with this organization. And frankly, after the 2000 election, there was the recognition that there are opportunities for lawyers to really play an important role when it comes to ensuring that people have an opportunity to vote, have an opportunity to ensure that their votes are counted. This year, because we had so many states engaged in early voting, and just to compare that with the last presidential election, where we had only about 10 states to provide for early voting, this time around we had 34 states doing so. And so the Lawyers Committee found that it needed extra help, extra support, gave us a call, and I can tell you at the end of the day, the IT department, all of our lawyers, support staff responded, and we were able to do things as Patton Boggs does them all the time, and that's with a vision, with commitment, and with resolve. And we actually had about 50 lawyers to participate. Again, it was a very enjoyable experience. We heard some, you know, difficult stories about problems that people face, but on the long haul, we were able to help them work through some of those issues.
Well, Rodney, I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere, 50 lawyers in a room talking election law, and here we are a week before Christmas, and they're still counting votes in at least one state in one Senate race, and it's going to come down to just a handful of votes, so you get a really good sense of how important everyone's vote is. But, John, let me ask you, I mean, this, is, I think, is an organization that, if I recall correctly, is near and dear to your heart because your father played a role in getting it established many years ago and getting it off the ground at a time when civil rights and voting rights were even more important to this nation's history. Tell me a little bit about how you became involved and why you continue to be involved with this group.
Well, Kevin, you're right. My dad was involved in those early days with President Kennedy. He was then in the Robert Kennedy Justice Department when they began to organize the Lawyers Committee on a national basis and was instrumental in getting it launched in not only in nationally but in a number of cities. I became involved with the local chapter in Washington, D.C., where we have handled numerous cases and matters and provided assistance and education programs for the Lawyers Committee or in conjunction with them. And this opportunity that we worked on this fall came along through the national office, and I think that it was partly out of a concern that there had been problems with people's ability to vote in prior elections, but also, I think, much more importantly, a growing interest in making sure that, you know, that people who had never voted before, who had never really figured out how to vote before, got out and voted. And so they wanted there to be a facility available so that people could ask somebody who would be knowledgeable even the most basic questions. And the system they set up was amazing. We were able to take a person's name and a Social Security number and maybe a little bit of other information and tell them exactly where to go to vote, whether they were registered, what they had to do to get registered. You know, very, very fundamental things. And I think we went into this thinking that what we were going to have on our hands was, I've got this problem, being harassed at the polls or whatever. But what we really had were people just needing that basic information about how do I participate in the process, how do I know where to go to vote, what do I have to take with me. It was that part of the process and that part of the participation, I think, that was rewarding to all of us. And the lawyers working on this were Republicans and Democrats and independents together, and the whole objective was to enable people to go to the polls and be in the right place at the right time and cast their ballot.
John, that's very interesting. I mean, I think most Americans were fascinated by this election season. That's why I saw such a high participation rate. You guys have mentioned, I think you said you had a pretty strong turnout at Patton Boggs and lawyers and support staff, maybe 80 people or so that participated. Why do you think they cared so much about this issue when you only had a few days' notice to get involved?
Kevin, I think that just what you pointed to, everybody was interested in this election, and people wanted to participate one way or another, and I think that lawyers particularly were reading that the Republicans or the Democrats wanted lawyers out in the field, and that might or might not work for them, and they were looking for other ways to participate and be of assistance. And this opportunity came along to be involved on a nonpartisan basis, but to know that you were really doing something constructive. And I think that's why people responded. And as I said, we started off on I guess Friday afternoon, and the thing just sort of picked up and ran over a weekend without any particular notice, and then into the night of Election Day. And there was always a good crew there who were fielding the calls. Our job in particular was to field the backlog of calls that had built up from earlier in the week, and we chopped those down real quickly. We went through 2,000 calls in no time. We're contemporary, so I think that was important. And I think what we learned from this is, as Rodney has said, there's going to be more and more early voting. Is that this kind of an institution, this kind of a resource needs to be available way earlier than the first or second of November. It needs to be backed up into October, because people have registration problems, registration questions, and early voting questions that are not easily answered if you've never been through this before.
And Kevin, I'm just so proud of the role that Patton Boggs played. We've always been known as a firm that wanted to be a good corporate citizen, to be involved in our communities, the communities where we have offices around the country and, frankly, around the world. We've been praised for our leadership on the pro bono front. But this was a way to get involved in something that would involve more than just one case, but a number of people, and people all around the country. And what I found most exciting was that I think we clearly picked up on the spirit of the Lawyers Committee and the leader, Barbara Onwine, who came over, met with us, talked about the issue, and then asked if we could be of assistance. I think when she saw our enthusiasm, she knew that we could handle a number of responsibilities, and they came back with three or four specifics. Our IDT department put together our command center over roughly 24 hours. And then you had people from across the spectrum of Patton Boggs. You not only had seasoned partners, but you had young associates. You had of counsel, paralegals, just people from all aspects of the Patton Boggs family who came together. We also provided a forum and an opportunity for others outside of our Patton Boggs family to come and to participate as well. But principally, We had, as you've noted, more than 50 Patton-Boggs attorneys to participate in this program alone, and then we had some 30 or so to participate in other ways around the country, web chats, all sorts of activities. And so it was very, very gratifying to just see that involvement on the part of the firm, and I think it was an effort that really holds true to our tradition of good public service and good pro bono service for the communities that we have the privilege to serve.
Now, guys, one question I have is, how did this all work? I mean, you got 50 different states voting at the same time and one call center. Clearly, you didn't train people on everyone's election law with just a couple days' notice. How did people hear about the calling in, and how did you handle calls from so many different jurisdictions?
Well, the information, the availability of this resource was put on many, many TV shows all over the country, Good Morning America, et cetera. The telephone number was provided. People accessed the telephone number, and then we had access to software that told us what the law was in every state and frequently asked questions and how to get into directories to find out where people were supposed to vote. It was an amazing, amazing resource that was available. And you know, I think what it showed was what we felt in sort of doing this in 4 days was if we'd had more time, we could have done a lot more. There was just an unbelievable amount of energy, and we had the endorsement and support of our leadership here, of Tom Boggs and Stuart Pape, were there, came over and watched what we were doing, and they supported this effort all the way through. So we can do things like this, to a, even a greater degree than we did in 2008.
You know, I want to join John in really acknowledging Tom and Stuart. And also Denise Vanison, who is the co-chair of the local Lawyers Committee effort. But again, it was true leadership from top to bottom across the Patton-Boggs family, and it was just a wonderful experience to be a part of.
Well, we've been joined today by Rodney Slater, former Secretary of Transportation under President Clinton, and John Oberdorfer, one of the more seasoned litigators here in Washington, D.C., both with the law firm of Patton-Boggs, talking about their outreach efforts to help voters get to the polls and make sure their votes were counted on Election Day. That's a great service to thousands of Americans across the country, and we certainly salute them for their efforts. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk about veterans' benefits and helping the folks who are defending our American freedom here in just a moment. You're listening to Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton-Boggs, LLP.
If you find yourself under the Klieg lights of a government investigation, you want experience on your side. Patton-Boggs has 46 years of it. We've handled some of the biggest white-collar crime cases. Put that experience to work for you.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton-Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton-Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
Oh, my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton-Boggs, LLP.
Hear ye, hear ye. The House will come to order.
Having trouble sorting out what's going on Capitol Hill? Patton-Boggs can cut through it all. We've got the insight, the know-how, the connections to navigate. Patton-Boggs, straight, unfiltered. Patton-Boggs, a bipartisan voice with knowledge and 46 years of experience.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton-Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. 20037. You may contact Patton-Boggs at 202-457-6000.
stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll-free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to Capital Thinking. Here we are in the holiday season, and I think we're all thankful for the great job that our armed services do to protect the people of this great nation. And we're going to talk a little bit about protecting those folks and helping them out when they come back from the battlefield and from their active duty service. We have with us two folks today, Teresa Finan and James Muchmore. We're both with the law firm of Patton Boggs. Teresa is in Northern Virginia, and James is joining us from cold, snowy Denver, and we appreciate having both of you guys on. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Teresa, let's start with you. I know you guys are sort of involved at different ends of the Veterans Affairs process, and I want to start by asking you, tell us a little bit about what are veterans' initial benefit claims and how you help help them sort of work their way through the process.
The veterans' initial benefits claims are the initial claims that the veterans make for payments such as disability, health care, and family care. And we assist the veterans with either initial filings of their claims or supplementing claims that may have been submitted or claims that may be denied for some reason, so we assist them in gathering the information that they may need and getting through the veterans processing to the extent that we can help them get it running a bit more smoothly and making sure that they know exactly what is needed and what their essential benefit options may be.
So tell us a little bit about what the typical case entails and maybe a little bit about how you and your firm got involved in this process altogether, why you chose to work on assisting veterans with your pro bono legal time.
Well, Patton Boggs itself has been involved with veterans benefits and various types of claims over the years. And in just in the past, about a year and a half or so, seeing a rather large increase in the number of veterans from the recent conflicts that need assistance. And there were, at the impetus of a few firms here in D.C., who were interested in getting involved to assist these veterans on these influx of cases for initial claims. Patton Boggs, we were one of the first to get involved in the D.C. area. And we there was a training about a year ago, and there were about 120 of us from various firms that took that initial training. I personally was thrilled to get involved. I am not a veteran, but I did work at the VA Medical Center here in Washington, D.C. for almost 7 years doing medical research in various capacities in the hospital. So for me, I was very interested in getting involved with the program. There is a process that started in the area where we have a sort of a coordinator who screens the initial claims that the veterans make. There are various veterans groups in the area who needed assistance, so the firms tried to become a sort of coordinated effort to screen the cases and then have the firms volunteer to take on some of the veterans' cases that come through the system.
What are some of the most common things that you're dealing with in helping these veterans through the process? Is it mental health issues? Is it rehab? Is it, getting back immersed into society now that they've left the military?
Right now, it is claims for disability and claims for health care, for injuries and illnesses that have occurred during their veterans' time, that as a part of their term of time as a veteran, and for many of them, there's additional issues that occur when you have some type of a disability or an injury or some type of an illness that occurs. There may be mental health issues. What we do is we have in-depth conversations with the veterans to help them collect all of the information about their potential cases and their potential claims so that we can help them make sure that they get the benefits that they are eligible for in the system, whether it be for physical or mental health services. From what we're seeing right now in the current six clients that we've taken on to date, they have a mixture of both.
Well, and how long does it take you to sort of work someone through the whole process to a satisfactory resolution? And then I guess sort of as the last question before we switch to James, tell me a little bit about if somebody's listening and they need assistance, how would they get into this program?
The initial, there are just disabled veterans groups and the veterans associations in the area who many veterans contact, and they also have, through the VA benefit system, some of the organizations know to get assistance from some of the VA, Disabled Veterans American Association, or the VA associations in the area, and then they contact we have a coordinator who actually works at the law firm of Howery and Simon, and he collects initial intake interviews that what the initial claims may be, and then he sends that out to everyone to review, and then it's sent out to all the associates in here in the firm, and they review the information and volunteer to take on the case. Currently, we have six clients, and we've had others that we have contacted to take on, and for various reasons, they either were contacted by others and already had representation, or we couldn't reach them. So it's a new program for us, and I can say for all of them, we are gathering information for them on their medical records, medical claims. We are helping them gather information about their service and their service records that assist them in being eligible for the veterans' benefits. And through the process, we will help them submit their claims and work with the regional offices of the Veterans Administration to try to process their claims a bit more quickly and smoothly than may if, they may not have submitted everything that might be needed, and that delays their claims.
Excellent. Well, let me switch over to James. James, I know you're involved at a little bit different stage of the veterans claim process. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what your work focuses on in helping veterans?
Thanks, Kevin. We are involved with the Veterans Consortium Pro Bono Program, and what that program is it's kind of the second step, the appeal step, that we help veterans with after they are denied claims, or in the event they don't receive the benefits to which they believe that they are entitled. And what the Veterans Consortium program is it was basically a program that was set up by Congress in conjunction with the American Legion, the Disabled American Veterans, the National Veterans Legal Services Program, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America program. And what we basically do is we help veterans who need to appeal the benefits that they need to get. So, for example, a veteran will contact the Veterans Consortium, and the Veterans Consortium will then refer that particular veteran to an attorney. The attorneys that assist Veterans Consortium are not only Patton Boggs attorneys, but attorneys throughout the country, really, who are interested in helping veterans in conjunction with the appeals process and in conjunction with making sure that they are heard in terms of establishing a service connection between the benefits that they might be eligible for and their particular term of service, or just making sure that they received a full and adequate hearing in connection with their receipt of any benefits.
Well, now tell me, what got you interested, James, in doing this, and maybe share with us a little bit of the satisfaction you get out of working with veterans on these issues?
Well, it really is a very rewarding experience. There's no question about it. I initially got involved because, frankly, I wanted to help veterans out who were, whether they be from the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, or the current Iraqi and Afghanistan conflict. I just wanted to help out, and Patton Boggs has always had a strong, it's always been important to Patton Boggs to serve veterans and to basically help them out as much as we can. Here in the Denver office, Denver is only about 90 minutes from Colorado Springs, and we have Fort Carson down there. So there is a large veteran population here in the central Rocky Mountain area. So I, in conjunction with some of my colleagues here, many of whom are veterans, wanted to help out as much as we can. I myself am not a veteran, but fortunately have been able to work with many of many veterans from different conflicts to help them get their case remanded or help them receive the benefits to which they are eligible. It's been great working with many of the folks who are from all over the country because, unfortunately, just because of fact and circumstance, sometimes it's difficult to go through all of the records that a veteran has and that has been presented to the Board of Appeals. So we are happy and really fortunate to work with a lot of these veterans to really go through and find the exact document or the exact point that the veteran is trying to make to the Board of Appeals.
Nice. Well, let me ask you, I know you also work with a second group, Homefront Cares, and I've got about 90 seconds left. Tell me a little bit about that organization and what you're involved with there.
Great. Yeah, the Homefront Cares is a volunteer organization that's based here in Colorado Springs, in Colorado. And what the Homefront Cares does is it basically tries to provide services for veterans who who've left the service and are coming back into society, as well as to families and groups of active military personnel who, for one reason or the other, could use a little bit of assistance because their loved one is overseas or is with the military. What we do for them is we've helped them in legal representation with respect to child custody, with respect to general family matters, with respect to real estate issues. And we've also worked with the Homefront Cares to generally promote their organization and help them with fundraisers and other situations where they basically can spread the word about the great services that they're providing.
Quick, and then I got to break away. Do you got a web address for these?
Sure, absolutely. The Homefront Cares is available at www.thehomefrontcares.org, and the Veterans Consortium Program is at veteransprobono.org.
Well, James, Teresa, thanks for joining us. I think, again, we all appreciate everything veterans have done for us, and we all want to see them come home and be able to access their benefits and for their families to be taken care of. You guys are doing the right thing here by serving them. We're going to be back in just a moment to talk some more about great pro bono acts here in the holiday season. You're listening to Capital Thinking here on the Voice America Business Network.
Sell, buy, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
What's your name worth?
The loss of a single patent, trademark, or copyright can cost millions. Make sure your intellectual property is protected. Trust Patent Boggs to manage and protect your most important assets.
Stuart Pape Attorney at Law is responsible for the content of this ad. Patent Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patent Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hey, out of my way!
Welcome to Washington Gridlock. Patton Boggs' legal team can make sense of it all. We know how Washington works. We've been sorting it out for the past 46 years. We have what it takes. Straight, unfiltered, Patton Boggs. We deliver the insights you need to stay on top of your game.
Stuart Pape, Attorney at Law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Hola.
Konnichiwa.
Bonjour.
Hello.
From Anchorage to Abu Dhabi.
Merhaba.
From Denver to Doha.
Ciao.
Patton Boggs makes business transactions the world over.
Oi.
Rely on our insights for your next deal. Patton Boggs, the international business team. Straight, unfiltered, Patton Boggs.
Stuart Pape, Attorney at Law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to this week's edition of Capital Thinking. We're just a week away from Christmas, and one of the things we wanted to do as we focus on the holiday season is to talk a little bit about the good acts of the legal world. So we're joined by two special guests today to talk about some fantastic things that they've been working on to help some of the less fortunate and some of the people who have found the legal system not helping them in the way it should. Our guests today are Rod Boggs. He's the Executive Director of the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs in Washington, D.C., and Rick Talisman, a partner at the law firm of Patton Boggs. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. We're pleased to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
I want to start, Rod, by asking you to tell us a little bit about what the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights is and what are some of the things that you focus on here in D.C.?
Kevin, the Washington Lawyers Committee is a civil rights public interest organization that actually was established under the leadership of Louis Oberdorfer, the father of one of the leaders of Patton Boggs, John Oberdorfer, back in 1968, at a time when there were civil disturbances and riots in many cities, and many basic civil rights, particularly of African Americans, were not recognized. And since that time, what we've been doing in Washington is working with the leading law firms in the city to provide pro bono representation to folks in a variety of different areas confronting different types of problems, including employment discrimination, which is housing discrimination, issues of immigration, issues of public education and public accommodations and disability rights. And in many of these areas, the firm of Patton Boggs has been a leader in assisting us, including a case that John Oberdorfer and a team of folks worked on for over 25 years involving the Iron Workers Union.
Sorry, involving what? Say that again?
The Iron Workers Union is discrimination against African American workers in the Iron Workers.
I'm having trouble with your microphone. If you'll just speak up a little bit. Now, Rick, I want to talk to you about one of the specific cases that I know you've been involved with, and that involves black motorcycle riders and perhaps some discrimination they face for one of their big annual events. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Rick, sorry.
This case took place there, still taking place, I guess you could say, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which every year hosts two events that are very similar except for one thing, and that's race. The first event is called Harley Week, and it is geared towards Harley motorcycle riders. The participants in that event are mostly white, and the town of Myrtle Beach more or less rolls out the red carpet for that event. Then a week or two later, on Memorial Day weekend, there is another event, which is, I think its official name is the Atlantic Beach Bike Fest, but it's colloquially known as Black Bike Week, and as the name implies, most of these people who participate in that event are African American, and the city of Myrtle Beach and many of the establishments in Myrtle Beach have taken a very different attitude towards that event. And several years ago now, the Washington Lawyers Committee came to us to ask if we would participate in one of those cases that they were picking a bringing down in Myrtle Beach, and that was a case against a hotel in that town called the Yachtsman. What the Yachtsman was doing was, 51 weeks a year, it had one set of rules, and then on the week of Black Bike Week, it would change its rules, and it would, in fact, make every patron who was going to stay there for the weekend pay a large deposit in advance, not applicable any other time of year. Sign a contract, which, as I recall, had 34 different provisions, most of which were not in effect any other time of the year, regulating their conduct, provide a photo ID, and then have to show a specially made photo ID every time they entered the hotel. There are limits on when they could bring guests in, and so on and so forth. None of these rules were in effect during Harley Week or any other time.
Or Spring Break Week, when every high school kid is down in Myrtle Beach?
Correct. Correct. So, as a result of that, we had the support and encouragement of the Lawyers Committee and, on behalf of the NAACP brought a case. I think we had 12 named plaintiffs in the case who had stayed at the hotel or had attempted to stay at the hotel over Black Bike Week, and brought a case alleging that they had been treated in a discriminatory fashion. And the case survived early a motion to dismiss the case on some legal grounds, and once that happened, the hotel realized that they probably were in a losing position, and so they initiated settlement discussions with us, and we were able to reach a successful settlement that ultimately benefited about 400 patrons of the hotel.
And so now I presume Black Biker Week goes on in perpetuity, and that they haven't had a problem maybe not only with the Yachtsman, but with some other establishments there. Have they adapted their practices after this settlement?
Well, I would say, Kevin, that one of the effects of this case was to send a very strong message to private concerns, restaurants, hotels, other places of public accommodation that it would not be easy to get away with this and that you'd pay a serious price to do it. What was going on simultaneously, though, was a lawsuit against the city of Myrtle Beach really seeking to get them to change the policing patterns, the traffic patterns, so that they were as welcoming as a city to the black bikers as they were to the riders on Harley Week. That case was settled a couple of years ago, and the city basically signed an agreement that they would treat both of these groups and both of these events exactly the same way. By that time, the success of the Yachtsman case had actually been noted by many other businesses, and so most of the other businesses in town had reformed their practices. But remarkably, despite this, there were still holdouts. There were cases filed as recently as last year against some fast food establishments, against the gas station chain, because they also simply were either closing down or offering different pricing patterns and treating black bikers just a lot differently.
I guess maybe I'm just young enough to not remember the bad days of the past, and you know, here we are, we're a month away from inaugurating America's first African-American president, so it's hard to believe that businesses are out there discriminating against people who want to patronize their businesses. What kind of reasons do defendants give to justify their behavior in this series of cases down there?
Well, the reasons that we were given, and we were given these reasons, I think that the black bikers were younger, they were more unruly, they were going to commit more offenses against civil order. However, there's no evidence to support that. When you began to look at, for example, the ages, the patrons of places like the Yachtsman, you found that the people in the African-American community on Black Bike Week were about the same ages, same income brackets, same you know, behavior regardless of race. So these were based, unfortunately, on stereotypes, and they simply didn't hold up under analysis, and that's why all these lawsuits have been, you know, settled or successfully won. I think it's it was really a surprise that these attitudes would persist as they have for such a long time. But the committee has actually found this in other cases that has brought over the last 10 to 15 years. Some of these stereotypes, even given the remarkable results in the presidential election, die rather hard. And that's one reason that we are extremely grateful for the work that Rick and his firm did in this case, because absent this type of intervention, these practices, I'm sure, would have been continuing even to this day. And Myrtle Beach stands as a really remarkable success story where the combination of the NAACP paying great attention to this, bringing the case to the Lawyers Committee, Rick's firm, interestingly enough, the lawyer who, as Rick knows, sort of did the legwork on this case is a fellow named Richard Ritter, who lives actually in Hilton Head, but who had visited this site over several years in advance of the lawsuit just to observe and to write reports on what was happening. His on-the-ground efforts, I think Rick could speak to this too, were enormously valuable in putting this case together.
Well, Rick and Rod, let me bring it back from Myrtle Beach here to Washington, because I know, Rod, you said at the outset that you all are the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs engaged in a wide variety of legal disputes to help folks out in cases of inadvertent discrimination or just help them with a leg up. And here we are in the holiday season. I guess I want to hear some of the things you're thankful for this year where lawyers have really lent a hand and made a difference for some people.
Well, there are lots of different areas. I mean, the firm of Patton Boggs, for example, has been active with us for many years in representing people who seek political asylum in this country, people who, may have come from a land where they were in fear of persecution for their political views or their ethnicity or race. And Denise Madison, another partner of X, who is actually the co-chair of the Lawyers Committee, has been helpful to us on many occasions in reaching out to try to give some folks who need some support legally in the political asylum system to get them permission to stay in the United States. And that at this time of year is something many people can obviously be very thankful for. Another area which we are very active in and where the Patton Boggs firm has been a real leader for over a decade is in getting law firms and other corporate entities to adopt public schools in the district and provide them with all sorts of students. And that has involved coaching, tutoring services, and fix-up days when Patton Boggs has sent dozens and dozens of firm employees into the school to help spruce it up and make it a little more accommodating to the students. And I think the school system is extremely grateful and proud of the work that has been done for them, and particularly at Francis Junior High School around the corner from Patton Boggs' offices, and actually helping to make education a great deal more meaningful for the community.
Whoever you are and what you do professionally, you can probably do something to help improve our school systems, whether or not you live in D.C. or elsewhere. I've got about a minute left here, and I'd like to ask Rick and Rod, if you're somebody out there listening and you feel like you've been discriminated against or you need some help in the legal arena and you probably need a pro bono because you don't have the ability to pay for it yourself, how do you come to an entity like the Washington Lawyers Committee to get processed and considered for legal assistance?
Well, the best way to reach us here is just go online to www.washlaw.org. It's washlaw.org. There's a whole intake form there. We're happy to receive a request for help there in any of the areas that I mentioned.
Right. Rick, anything to add to that? No? Okay. Well, many thanks. We've been joined today by Rod Boggs, the Executive Director for the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs, and Rick Kalsman, a partner, a litigator at the law firm of Patton Boggs, talking about some of the great things that they've partnered on in the pro bono legal area to help people in need this holiday season. We'll be back in just a moment with more. You're listening to Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network.
Is
sell, buy, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
From K Street to Wall Street to LaSalle Street, the Patton Boggs team knows how to pull off big business transactions. Come hear what we know. Patton Boggs covers the world.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
Interrogatories.
Prima facie.
Pleadings.
Motion for summary judgment.
E-discovery.
Affirmative defense.
Stipulations.
Ex parte.
Amicus brief.
Subpoena.
Litigation is confusing. Trust the litigation team at Patton Boggs to make sense of it all.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000. The following is a paid advertisement from Patton Boggs, LLP.
The same firm that's been navigating the government maze for more than four decades is also the same firm that can help you protect your most important assets. Whether it's a valuable patent, an important copyright, or your next big idea, Patton Boggs is committed to protecting your intellectual property.
Stuart Pape, attorney at law, is responsible for the content of this ad. Patton Boggs' principal office is located at 2550 M Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., 20037. You may contact Patton Boggs at 202-457-6000.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Live from Washington, it's Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. Join us on the program and weigh in on the topics discussed with your question or comment. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also direct your questions or comments via email to koneill@pattonboggs.com. That's koneill, O-N-E-I-L-L, at pattonboggs.com. Now, back to Capital Thinking.
All right, welcome back to Capital Thinking. Our guests for this segment, we've got two great ladies with us to end the show. That's Judith Sandelow, who's the Executive Director for the Children's Law Center in Washington, D.C., and Karen Teal from the law firm of Patton Boggs in Washington, D.C. Judith and Karen, welcome to the show. And Judith, let me kick it off by asking you to tell us a little bit about the Children's Law Center and what your mission is.
Well, thank you. The Children's Law Center is the largest legal services organization in Washington, D.C., and we're the only one who focuses specifically on children. Our mission and our goal is to give all children in the District of Columbia safe families, meaningful education, and a healthy mind and body. We're really focusing on what we believe is the core foundation to give all children an opportunity to thrive. Unfortunately, here in the District of Columbia, more than a third of our children live in poverty, and 16% live in extreme poverty, which is a family of four living on $10,000 or less. So we have a lot of work to do.
Those are pretty depressing numbers. I guess that answers in part my next question, which really is, why do children need lawyers in this day and age?
Well, children really need lawyers for two different reasons. Normally, it's a child's parents who really advocate for them in the world. And we all know that just instinctively from our own families. Unfortunately, there are too many children whose parents can't do that, either because they are abusive, they're mentally ill, they're drug addicted, and at that point the government steps in and takes a child away, and really the government becomes a child's parent, and I'm sure you can imagine the government doesn't make a very good parent. And someone needs
I don't want them in charge of me. I definitely don't want them in charge of my kids.
That's for sure. So our job as lawyers is to give voice to what that child needs and really to get them out of the government's care as fast as possible, and into a loving, permanent home.
Well, let me switch to you, Karen, for just a minute, and tell me a little bit about how you got interested in doing pro bono legal work for kids.
Well, I'm a second career lawyer, so I've had a research career before this. I was on faculty at USC where I did research on adolescent pregnancy and support services for adolescent moms. And then I worked for the federal government for a number of years where I worked on infant mortality reduction and maternal and child health issues. So these have been issues that have been with me for a long time. And when I came to Pat and Boggs, and they have such an active pro bono program, and so much of it does involve children, it was just my privilege to continue doing that work, either one-on-one with kids or on policy issues affecting children.
Well, let me stick with you, Karen. Tell me a little bit about lawyers who might be interested in working with kids. Where do they go to get training options to get involved? Do you need a background in family law or...
Absolutely. In fact, I've never taken a course in family law, but the Children's Law Center is a great resource. I've taken their training. They have really good written materials, and even the website for D.C. Superior Court has, you know, you can get any form you want clicking on the website. But people can go through training to assist people in guardianship and adoption, to represent foster children as a guardian ad litem. I've had two Children's Law Center cases in the past couple of years. One was representing grandparents who were petitioned to become legal guardians of their grandchildren, and another that I'm still working with is a foster parents who are in the process of petitioning to adopt a little girl who's been with them since she was 4 months old.
Wow, that's great stuff. Judith, let me come back to you, ask a couple more things. One, talk to us. This is obviously tight economic times, perhaps even record bad economic times for many Americans. How is that having a disproportionate impact on children and their needs in the legal community?
Well, I think it has an impact in two particular ways. As parents are feeling stressed and families have less money, there is a corresponding increase in child abuse. Unfortunately, many parents, when they get overwhelmed, take it out on their children. So we are seeing more children coming into foster care at a time when the government doesn't have money to really take care of them and provide for services. So it's putting a squeeze on the nonprofit community and in particular organizations like ours to step in and fill the void. So, of course, we, as many nonprofits are turning to our donors to say this is a time when we need people to give more than they've given in the past because there's so much more work to be done.
And Judith makes a good point, too, and that is any number of the policy projects that private nonprofits have, their resources are getting so tight they may not have the resources to fly people in to go to meetings on the Hill or to interact with federal agencies and that sort of thing. And so being a pro bono lawyer for children's advocacy organizations can be really important in that sense, too.
That's absolutely...
Go ahead, Karen. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that was Judith, and I was actually going to jump in and say Karen is the perfect example, and actually Pat and Boz, the perfect partner to helping kids. I went back through my records. Pat and Boz has taken 15 pro bono cases in just the past 2 years, and just this year alone donated 522 hours of their lawyer's time to representing children and their and foster parents on behalf of the Children's Law Center directly.
Oh, that's great. Let me ask you sort of a bigger picture question, Judith, and that is, you know, if you had another army of lawyers to come to your aid today, what would you be deploying them to do for kids?
Well, we turn away children that we can't represent. There is a huge need. One of our programs is a partnership with our local children's hospital. We literally pick a lawyer, they go into the doctor's office and meet with families in the examining room. And there are a myriad of legal issues that come up which compromise a child's health. Children who have asthma, going back to rodent-infested public housing, end up in the emergency room. What they really need is someone to go after that landlord to make sure that the house is cleaned up. If I had a rack of new lawyers, I would have them really solving children's health problems, advocating for school changes, and engaging folks like Karen to take on policy projects.
And as we start to discuss things like health care reform and children's issues are certainly a part of that, this is an ideal time for good voices for private nonprofits.
Karen, talk to us a little bit about your own experience. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to work for someone like the Children's Law Center in my own legal career, so one of my questions is, Do you get a lot of one-on-one time with children? Are you dealing with their parents more? How does this all work?
Well, it depends on what you're doing. For example, I'm a guardian ad litem. I've been representing a D.C. foster child for the past 4 years. He's very fortunately now in a pre-adoptive home, and I've represented him through all phases of his foster care experience, but I also took him Christmas shopping on Saturday. So there's an opportunity to develop a really nice personal relationship with the child, too.
There are many kinds of ways to make a difference in kids' lives, either by representing children directly if you like to spend time with kids, or if it doesn't make you comfortable, their parents need representation in order to get them the services they need. So both can happen.
Good. Well, and Karen, you mentioned Christmas shopping with a child. I'm sure that had to be a lot of satisfaction for you to take somebody out and help them out. Can you give us some examples of the best and worst parts of your pro bono activity involving children's issues?
I think the best certainly is seeing the difference that representing a child can make in that child getting services, as Judith mentioned, school services, hospital services, primary care services, dental services, mental health services, and making sure that that system is working for the child. And I often feel that, how sad it is for kids who don't have someone working for them to make sure that the system is responsive, because the system sometimes doesn't move. There's been major improvements in D.C. with the magistrate judge system, where they have a child, one judge will have a child from when they first come into the system until they are adopted or until they graduate as a young adult. And that's a very positive change, but still children need voices. And also children, in the process of doing this, you're teaching children how to advocate for themselves, which is very, very important. The young man I represent now speaks to foster parents and other pre-adoptive children about his experiences.
Judith, I got time for one more quick question, about 30 seconds left, and that is, how can our listeners help the Children's Law Center here in the holidays or throughout the course of the year?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.childrenslawcenter.org, and there are many ways to help. Folks can make a donation personally. They can make a donation through their workplace. They can donate their car, their boats. There's all kinds of ways of giving what we need most, which is money to keep going. But wherever folks are, they can advocate with their local council members, state legislators, with Congress to make sure that children aren't forgotten during the economic bailout, that they're protected. Or if they're lawyers in their own community, they can turn to the courts to offer their pro bono services.
Great. Well, we'll have to wrap it up there. We've been joined by Judith Sandelow. She's the executive director for Washington, D.C.'s Children's Law Center. And Karen Teal from the law firm of Patton Logs. Ladies, thanks for all you do for the kids of America. We wish you a happy holidays. Happy holidays to the children that you serve. You've been listening to the Voice America Network and the Capital Thinking Radio Show. We'll see you after the holidays.
Thank you for joining us for Capital Thinking with your host, Kevin O'Neill. We hope to have you join us again for more insight from Washington. We're here every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Business Network.